So, Jay, this is our second of three follow-up episodes to our episode 546, where we had some researchers on who talked about arguments before and against quacks. If you want to hear about that research and what they did and why they did it, go back to 546. What we're doing in this series is we're actually taking the three groups that the researchers broke the arguments into before and against quacks, and we're basically pontificating on our opinion on those arguments.
Yes. So the episode,
this is the fun one.
The episode where we had the researchers on was pretty heavy. A lot of methodology was discussed.
Yeah.
Check it out, 546. The first episode in this series where you and I started talking was a banger.
Yeah.
Please go back and check that out, Tim. So what is the second batch?
The second batch is called Governance and Sovereignty.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, is what they called it. Governance and Sovereignty. Three arguments for, three arguments against. I will read the three arguments for. Promote fair competition in digital markets. Number two, strengthen EU digital sovereignty. And number three, advance the EU digital single market, which is to say consistency across EU nations.
Okay.
So my first observation is this is all very EU focused, not globally focused. And my second observation is these arguments are based on a presupposition that it is inherently virtuous to improve the EU's lot in the world as a zero-sum game over other nations. So I think you can see who's making those arguments.
It's not a question at all.
Right.
You know, geopolitics has even changed a little from a few years ago till today. I live in Canada, and I can tell you that the United States friend or foe question mark was never a question.
Right.
It's a question now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And if I'm Europe, that's unacceptable for it to be questionable.
Now, I think these arguments probably mostly predated a lot of the current activities we've seen in the current administration. But certainly there's the hangover from the first round with that administration. But also more generally, there has been a long brewing European opinion that we, number two things. Number one is we can't be beholden to and ultimately vulnerable to big US tech. And the second one that's connected and related to that is, well, we want our share of that money.
Of course.
They're making all the money. I want to make that money. And you see that all here, where all these arguments are basically saying, not the last one, but the first two are saying, you know, why them? Why not us? We should be the ones.
You know, Tim, I'm just going to say this, and I think we've said this before on the podcast, but I think the Europeans looked at things like Apple Wallet and the ubiquity of that platform. Mm-hmm. They saw the fact that some US states were putting driver's licenses inside of an Apple Wallet.
Right.
And I think they were absolutely terrified of, you know, Latvian driver's licenses being in Apple Wallets and people being absolutely thrilled that their tech in their pocket was giving a perfectly valid option. And I think the Europeans had to answer that with, well, we got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And so therefore EIDAS 2.0.
EIDAS 2, the citizen's wallet. Right.
That was its purpose.
Yep.
Was a absolutely direct response to, oh my God.
Yeah.
Somebody in California is going to run our driver's licenses.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I think this one is just very much a function of where you sit in that zero-sum game tug-of-war, right? This is a bunch of self-interested people making self-interested arguments about how they can beat the other guy. And if you are in that category, then you're going to see this as a pro-argument. If you're not in that category, then you're probably not. If you're attempting to put yourself out. There's a principle, and I forget what it's called. You might know. I should know it. Where you could contend that the best way to make a rule is to make the rule with no knowledge of where you sit in the environment or the society, right? And that's the way to make the fairest, the most just, the most functional rule. Because otherwise people make rules that advantage themselves. This is people who aren't doing that, right?
Of course not.
Yeah. And I think in their defense, probably knowingly not doing that. I think this is a debate about, hey, how are we going to win a particular contest that we're trying to win, right? And so, of course, these researchers put it in the pro. Depending on your perspective, you might put it in the con.
Well, Tim, look, you know, Americans might look at, you know, President of the United States joking around or not joking around about taking over your country.
Right.
Calling every country in the world, a 51st state.
Sure.
You know, Americans might have a good chuckle over that.
Or an asshole, yes.
If you live in one of these jurisdictions, it's not so much of a joke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but let's clarify. As an American talking to a Canadian, it's not a joke to a whole lot of us either. To be clear, there's plurality of opinion inside the United States, and not everybody agrees with that viewpoint.
Yeah, and so therefore, right. All I'm saying is the Europeans saying, hey, we got to, we have to cordon off certain kinds of technology and put our own stamp on it, and knowingly and firmly, is not surprising.
Yeah. 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 Yes. So, you know, again, I think ultimately where it comes down to this one is, well, this argument is basically, well, this is how our side wins over their side. And what you think of that argument probably depends on where you sit on that. Right. And we could get into my general contentions about, do I trust European governments to do tech better than I trust tech giants? And I don't. Other people may.
I think that you and I have explicitly exposed how the Europeans are actually degrading security actively.
Right.
We've talked about this already.
Yep. Absolutely. And they're doing this for these reasons, right? They're more interested in their own advantage than they are in creating a ultimately secure and functional global digital environment. And I think that's honest. I think that's an ethical failing. I think we should not be doing that. We should be trying to set up a connected digital world that's good for humans.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. The third one's a little different. Advance the EU single digital single market. I see that a little different. It's like saying there's 20-something, 25-ish nations in Europe. I should, the number is 25, 27, something in that ballpark. And it would be good for a lot of people if there was consistency and predictability across all of them. I concur, right? I think that's just a net benefit. Yeah. I don't think it's at someone else's expense, and I think it's a valid argument.
Yeah.
Okay, three against. Number one, facilitate government surveillance. We haven't seen any of that, have we? Number two, undermine neutral global trust models. And number three, conflict with existing root store standards. I think two and three kind of flock together. So let's do number one, facilitate government surveillance.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Period.
Absolutely. And, you know, people talk and they pull out examples like Kazakhstan. How about France? If we all don't remember, and I think it was 2011, it was France.
Tim, you and I have to probably have a record of all podcasts about government right. versus internet, government versus encryption. Yeah.
So yes, absolutely. Right. That's a big problem. And they have a track record of doing it. So I agree. Second, the two go together. Undermine neutral global trust models and conflict with existing root store standards. So this is the argument I always make, which is who's going to do this better? Apple or Lithuania. I'm going with Apple.
I'll tell you what, I'll take the Canadian right? viewpoint, which is nobody's neutral.
Okay.
That's why I built my own root store.
Right. Yes. 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 Right. Right. Or who's going to do this better? Jason Sirocco Me. Or Lithuania?
Me.
Right. And that's just, I mean, we've hit this a lot. I don't need to belabor it, but you know, that's ultimately, I just do believe that asking bureaucrats and legislators to be surrogates for bespoke technology careerists who have dedicated their lives from the time they were in school, not even college, but before that, to understanding and implementing the nuances of technology, it's no comparison.
I'll wrap up what I think in very short terms. The second two inform the first one.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right. That is governance and sovereignty. And keep an eye for the third one. I'll give you a teaser. That will be compliance and interoperability.
There we go.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Tim.